The belief that God became man and dwells among us in Jesus Christ is at the very heart of Orthodox Christian life and worship. Orthodox worship, therefore, involves the whole person, heart, mind, body, and soul. In our services of worship, Christians pray and sing in liturgies that are not of this world. Ancient Faith Radio now presents Singing the Triumphal Hymn with Father John Finley, exploring the Orthodox faith through music and liturgy. Father John is a composer and musician and is with the Missions and Evangelism Department of the Antiochian Orthodox Church. Here's Father John.
We continue in our series on the sanctification of time as we approach the celebration of the Annunciation of the Virgin Mary, Theotokos, on March 25th. And I'd like to devote the next few minutes to a discussion of that date, March 25th, and its significance. I may do a little backpedaling here, too, with some teaching that I've given previously. Not that I made it up, but, I've heard this teaching given. I have read it from numerous sources. That the beginning of the development of these calendar dates centers around Christmas time and the overtaking and sanctifying the feast of the invincible Son, the Saturnalia, declaring Christ to be the Son of Righteousness, and Orient is his name, the day spring from on high. And we hear these phrases in the main hymn, the Christmas Troparion, the Christmas Apolitikion, and that then we take from that date, which was assigned and began to be established in the 4th century, and then we move back from that to 9 months earlier, the Annunciation, 6 months before the birth of John the Baptist, and so on and so forth. What I'd like for us to consider in the next few minutes is March 25th as a date that is actually more solidly established in the ancient Christian tradition. And in order to do that, we need to become familiar with three other calendars besides our civil Gregorian calendar that we operate on day in and day out. Those three other calendars are the Jewish lunar calendar, that is a moon calendar, the Eastern Greek solar calendar, and the Western Julian solar calendar. This Western Julian solar calendar is actually still the official calendar of the Orthodox Church to this day. But there is a tradition in the Church that Christ was crucified on 14 Nisan. Have you ever heard of that date or that reference before? 14 Nisan. If you study the Council of Nicaea, you've probably come across it there. This was a date on the Jewish lunar calendar. We don't even know what Nisan is, but it was one of the months moon phases on the Jewish calendar. And the ancient tradition in the Church, widely held, was that Christ was crucified on 14 Nisan. Even in the 4th century, the Council of Nicaea, 325 A.D., there was a significant segment of the Christian population that said we must celebrate Pascha on 14 Nisan, no matter what day of the week it falls on. And of course, the Council of Nicaea ruled that we would celebrate Pascha on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. Why the vernal equinox? 14 Nisan. All right, so the first Sunday after the first full moon after vernal equinox. If we translate this 14 Nisan onto the Julian solar calendar, it comes out March 25th. March 25th. Vernal equinox on the Julian calendar, the traditional date of the early Christians when Christ was crucified. Now, we add to that that there is also a Jewish tradition that the great men of history were born on the same day they died. Now, if we look at that, and this notion existed among the early Christians, so if we look at that, then we begin to get some kind of a sense. Well, if we look at it from a theological perspective, then we have to say it was not his birth, but his conception, which was the incarnation. The incarnation was his conception, because we believe that human soul and body is united to a person at the moment of conception. And this is actually one of the arguments we use against the practice of abortion, that a person is present. There is no human nature unless a person is present in which that human nature is united. And so the incarnation and Christ's death is occurring on the same day. This is a tradition that arose in the church. So if we look at that, then we start pushing out, then 9 months later is his birth on the winter solstice, December the 25th, and that the birth of John the Baptist then, you know, would be 6 months earlier. Now let's look at it from a perspective of solstice for a minute. There's a North African document called De Solstices. Now, I hope I pronounced that right. I get corrected for my pronunciations all the time. Anyway, De Solstices is a North African document from the 300s, and it attempts to determine the date of Christ's birth entirely from evidence given in Scripture. It assumes this date of March 25th, for Christ's death, the Passover. The reasoning begins from the conception of John the Baptist, though. The angel made the announcement to Zechariah. Zechariah completed his time of service and returned home. This is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. So when this time of service is complete in the fall of the year, when the Jewish year ends and the new Jewish year begins, then Zechariah returns home, Elizabeth conceives John, and this is around the time of the fall equinox. Wow. I mean, I never really thought of that in those terms. I mean, I know we begin our, you know, fixed liturgical year on September the 1st, and I know that's not exactly, you know, an exact correspondence with the beginning of the Jewish year. You know, Rosh Hashanah, from what I have read, can fall as early as September 5th, be as late as September the 30th. And so that's kind of a variable beginning of the Jewish lunar calendar new year. But let's just suppose that in this particular year, that John the Baptist was conceived on the fall equinox. Again, we're not taking any of this dogmatic. Let's just go, and work through this for a minute. So then the announcement to Mary comes in Elizabeth's 6th month. This would be about the spring equinox. This is also happens to be the Passover and the date of Christ's death, as we've discussed earlier, March 25th on the Julian calendar. So the birth of John is 9 months after the fall equinox, coming on the summer solstice, the summer equinox. All right, June 24th, I believe, is the assignment date on here. So now we have Jesus' birth 9 months after the spring equinox, puts it on the winter solstice, or about December the 25th, on the Julian calendar. So this reasoning is all based on the presumption of the conception of John the Baptist and coming from the Scriptures. This line of reasoning was adopted by Blessed Augustine, and he noted that the conception and the crucifixion occurred at the same time. It also was accepted by John Chrysostom in the 380s. Now, we don't know quite for sure if St. John Chrysostom was using the Western Julian solar calendar or if he was using this old Greek Eastern calendar. But even if he was, this Greek Eastern solar calendar was 2 weeks behind the Julian calendar. That put this spring equinox, the date of Christ's death, on their calendar when they translated it from the Jewish lunar calendar to April the 6th. All right? So if that's a point of conception and then we push out the birth 9 months, what do we get? Ooh, January the 6th. What about that? How about that? January the 6th, the birth of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we have heard, and it's true, that this was an ancient date in which all of these things, his conception, his birth, his circumcision, his baptism, the inauguration of his, everything, was celebrated on that. And I think the Armenians, Christians to this day, everything is still fixed on January the 6th. But the Julian calendar came to be the adopted calendar of the church. And so his birth, December the 25th, so then it was retained that his baptism and the inauguration of his public ministry would be retained on this January 6th date. I would think that there was a real attachment to January the 6th, a deep tradition already established in the church, especially the churches of the East, as this being a high and holy day, and that when the Julian calendar was adopted, they didn't want to just say, well, we're not going to pay any attention to this. So January 6th was retained as a high holy day in the celebration of the Epiphany, the Theophany. Do you find this interesting? I find it just fabulously interesting. You know, to think that the Lord was both conceived and died on the spring equinox. You know, the spring equinox, the equinox that which we celebrate the beginning of the new life, the beginning of the incarnation. What do we sing? Today is the beginning of our salvation. These are the first lines of the Apologetikon, the troparion of the Annunciation. And Christ in his crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection brings new life to the whole world. And then to look at that from a standpoint of then in the winter solstice, 9 months later, we're proclaiming Christ as the light of the world. And that the light is no longer moving toward darkness, but the days are getting longer. So John the Baptist, conceived in the fall solstice and born in the summer solstice, Christ conceived in the spring solstice and born in the winter solstice. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. How wonderful is our God and all of his works. Have a happy feast.
And that was Father John Findlay with Singing the Triumphal Hymn, exploring the Orthodox faith through music and liturgy. If you would like to write Father John, his email is singing@ancientfaith.com. That's singing@ancientfaith.com. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.